And let us turn in God's Word to 1 Kings chapter 1. The last time we were in this section of the Bible concluded with chapter 24 of 2 Samuel. So we continue. And here, these books are divided between David and Solomon. The division between 1 Kings and 2 Kings revolves around the prophets, between Elijah and Elisha. So rather a different perspective. And yet at that same time, as we get later on in the history of Israel and of Judea, we have the fact that it was about the message that the prophets brought to Israel, sadly because the kings had lost all sight and all hope in the gospel for the most part. There were a few good ones, but for the most part they were very rotten at the end. So let us hear together the 53 verses of 1 Kings 1. Now King David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Therefore his servants said to him, "Let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our lord the king, and let her stand before the king, and let her care for him, and let her lie in your bosom, that our lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very lovely, and she cared for the king and served him, but the king did not know her. Then Adonijah the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not yet rebuked him at any time, saying, "Why have you done so?" He was also very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom. Then he conferred with Joab the son of Zeruiah and Abiathar the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatted cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel. He also invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty man, or Solomon his brother. So Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David our Lord does not know it? Come, please, let me now give you advice, that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go immediately to King David and say to him, 'Did you not, my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, assuredly your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king?' Then, while you are still talking there with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words." So Bathsheba went into the chamber of the king. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was serving the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. Then the king said, "What is your wish?" Then she said to him, "My lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, 'Assuredly, Solomon, your son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne.' So now, look, Adonijah has become king, and now, my lord the king, you do not know about it. He has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon your servant he has not invited. And as for you, O Lord, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it will happen, when my lord the king rests with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be counted as offenders." And just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. So they told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall be king, shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest, and look, they are eating and drinking before him. And they say, long live King Adonijah. But he has not invited me, nor your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king? And have you not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord, God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, so I certainly will do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and paid homage to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. So they came before the king. The king also said to him, take with you the servants of your lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel, and blow the horn, and say, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and shall be king in my place. For I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, amen. May the Lord God of my lord the king say so too. As the Lord has been with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Perethites, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the horn. And all the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after him, and the people played the flutes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth seemed to split with their sound. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, why is the city in such a noisy uproar? While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Biathar the priest, and Adonijah said to him, come in, for you are a prominent man, and bring good news. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, no, our lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Pelethites, and they made him ride on the king's mule. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon, and they have gone up from their rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Also Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants have gone to bless our lord King David, saying, may God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne. Then the king bowed himself on the bed. Also the king said thus, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day while my eyes see it. So all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Then Solomon said, if he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth, but if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar, and he came and fell down before King Solomon, and Solomon said to him, go to your house. Thus far the reading, God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's Word this morning, who's King? We do not have an earthly king necessarily in our nation. Actually, our president is patterned after the kings that were in the Netherlands. And the kings in the Netherlands were elected. And we have an elected king, except he is elected for 4 years. And as we consider at this time of year, the election upcoming, but also as we consider this passage of God's Word, we need to understand who is finally king. Because too often we put our trust, our hope in earthly people. And God is the one who raises up, and God is the one who brings low. So the question finally is, who is king? Do we trust in someone who makes themselves an earthly, quote and unquote, important person? Or do we trust in Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who cares for us as his people and who guides history? And as we look at this passage, we read about Adonijah usurping the power of the kingdom. Remember that Absalom had attempted to do so previously. And this passage opens with a part that kind of just, we go, what? About Abishag the Shunammite. But the point is, David is getting very old. David's power is waning. He is king of the country, anointed by God. Remember, they had said concerning him, David has slain his 10,000s. But the power of man does not last. He is again tested. Is he able to bring about the promise that he had given to Bathsheba and to Solomon? Earthly people, no matter how powerful, can have great difficulty bringing about their will. David had failed as well, we have noted for us, in the raising of his children. We read verse 6, and his father had not rebuked Adonijah at any time, saying, "Why have you done so?" And so earthly kings are weak. The most powerful people on earth are weak before the throne of God. God is not prevented by sin or by circumstances from bringing about his will. Even here, he is superintending to bring about his will and his promises. And as we consider this fact, we need to be reminded as well that in the most wicked, the most heinous event in the history of the world, the crucifixion of God, the second person of the Trinity, Christ, we read in Peter's sermon at Pentecost, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." Arguably, the most wicked event in human history. But that's not the end of the passage, is it? "Whom God, having raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Whom God raised up. The most wicked event in history is also the most gracious, the most loving event. And so as we look at this passage, we see David's inability. David is so weak he can't even keep himself warm. And God directs the courses of kings on this earth. God is the one who directs the courses of kings, of all things on this earth. In verses 1 through 27, we see that Adonijah usurps the kingdom. And in verses 28 through 52, we see that David, by the power of God, fulfills his promise to make Solomon king. So first of all, looking at Adonijah, David is so old and so weak that he cannot even get warm. David's inability is shown here. And so they look for him for a companion, and they find this young woman. Now I'm afraid the design of David's servants is not so very good here. But David is not, that is not the design of David. We read that verse 4, David did not know her in the biblical sense. And Adonijah takes this opportunity of David's weakness to set himself up as king. Now Adonijah means Yah is the Lord. David started out well with his name. But as we read in verse 6, David had never rebuked him, saying, "Why have you done this?" We need to rebuke our children. We need to correct them. It's a difficult thing. And yet at that same time, it is the call of God. It is the call of God to rebuke, to call back, to discipline. And this second of David's sons attempts to usurp the kingdom. Remember Absalom. And this was all part of God's curse on David's rape of Bathsheba. Again, sin and the effects of our sin get in the way. They prevent us from fulfilling the promises which we make. But God is not stopped by our sins and our failures. God can even use them, not that we sin, as Paul says, writing to the Romans, that grace may abound, but God can use our weaknesses and our sins for His glory. And so Adonijah gets virtually everyone in the kingdom involved, but David, Bathsheba, Solomon, and a few of David's most trusted advisors. When we feel like the whole world is against us, we do not need to fear. As we've said before, the question is not who all's on our side. The question is, are we on God's side? Just one person with God is in the majority. And so Adonijah, interesting, sacrifices sheep and oxen and fatted cattle. He's trying to make this look like a real coronation. He's even looking for God's blessing on his usurping the kingdom. That which was not his, stealing. And how often we do this? We look for God's blessing. We even pray for it. I've heard of people praying for God's blessing on all sorts of terrible sins, really. I want God to bless me while I break his commandments. Guess what? God's not going to bless us when we are breaking his commandments. That is a place of curse. And yet, this is what Adonijah does. And we need to be reminded that we are not to seek our own glory, to seek our own power. We are to seek the glory of Almighty God. And what happens? Nathan and Bathsheba come together and say, "What's going on here? How do we deal with this?" Nathan and Bathsheba compare notes. Now think of Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet was the one who had brought David the news of his sin against Bathsheba. We might think, well, that's not going to be a very good friend to David. But this was one of David's closest friends. By the way, David even named one of his children, one of his sons, Nathan. Confronting people, especially true Christians, with sin does not make them hate you. It makes them love you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Because true friends don't lie. True friends don't smooth everything over. And Nathan confronted David, and David loved him following that. And notice what Nathan says. This is going to be dangerous for Bathsheba and Solomon. Notice everybody else virtually is called in except for Bathsheba and Solomon and just a few others that were known to be, really violently loyal to David. And this is how earthly kings deal with things. Notice what Nathan foresees here. That this is dangerous to the lives of Bathsheba and of Solomon. Because if Adonijah gets away with this, Solomon is the rightful heir. But it doesn't matter if Solomon is not king. In fact, it matters very much for him because he is going to then be in grave danger. Earthly kings kill those who are in competition, and sadly, our own elections have become nearly this. We have to realize that people who disagree with us are not Satan himself. And yet certainly people treat them as such. We need to seek to understand the Scriptures. We need to seek to have grace for people who are seeking as well to understand how to live, especially for those who are seeking to live in a Christian manner. I have much more respect for those who are back to the Word of God and saying, I disagree with you about this, than people who have never spent time studying and knowing and are just saying, this is it, I won't listen to anything else. We have to seek to be obedient to God, first of all. And we may not come up to the exact same conclusions. And Bathsheba then is sent in, and Nathan will come later, we're told. Bathsheba is the one to whom David had promised. And so she's sent in first of all. And she brings the news. She tells what's going on. We read that in verses 17 through 21. She tells of the danger of her life that is under Adonijah. And she says, we will be counted as offenders. And as she concludes what she's saying, then Nathan follows and says, yeah, this is what's going on. Did you, David, set this up? And I didn't know. And David says, of course, no. David fulfills the promises that he had made to make Solomon king. David prepares for Solomon's coronation. He reiterates his promise to Bathsheba. David reminds of God's faithfulness to him. Notice where our trust goes immediately as soon as we're dealing with David. It is not in David and his ability to fulfill the promise. David prays that God would make him, Solomon, a better king than he was. He relies on God to establish Solomon. And Bathsheba responds, let my Lord King David live forever. Now nowadays that statement is just wind. David is getting old. David is, in fact, they've talked about him dying in this very passage. So what does this mean? This is a reference to eternal life. And this is what this is supposed to be, a reference to eternal life. But we on this earth today have made it just sadly words if you hear people say these sorts of things. And so David gathers together a coronation committee, which consists of pretty much everyone who has not been called by Adonijah. It's a very small group. Does it matter how big the group with us is?
No way.
What matters is God. And so David calls together the group and sends them to the pool Gihon, which would have taken through all the streets of Jerusalem from the palace. And he places him on David's mule. This looks forward, by the way, and foretaste of Jesus going into Jerusalem on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And Solomon is anointed. The people, this small group, is very interesting. The earth seems to split when they cry it. Adonijah's had been very quiet, so much so that while the word had gotten out to those who were not invited, yet at that same time, it had not split the earth. It had not given that great of a noise. Because the power of God was involved in this instead of just man trying to bring about their own desires and their own ideas. And he was anointed correctly, proclaimed king by the correct authorities, and placed on David's throne. They blew the horn, the shofar, crying, "Long live King Solomon." It doesn't matter how small the committee is. If they are the right people, it is much more important than the wrong people who were with Adonijah. And it was with, as we've said, the Lord's direction. And Adonijah and his people hears the tumult as they finish eating. Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest, brings the news. And he retells the story. And in verse 47, what David had said, "May God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne." And David bowed before Solomon. David rejoices that despite being a warring man, verse 48, God had given him someone to sit on the throne that he has seen. And everyone involved with Adonijah scattered. Despite the weakness of King David, they knew that this was directed by David and beyond and above that by God. In fact, Adonijah is so scared that he runs into the temple and takes hold on the horns of the altar. We read that verse 50. And he asks that Solomon will swear not to kill him. And he had committed treason. He was worthy of death. But notice Solomon doesn't. We as human beings so easily jump to the conclusion that we need to have the power. And what does Solomon say? "If you are a worthy man, not one hair shall fall from your head." Solomon gives Adonijah a second chance. And we have to realize how awesome it is. Forgiveness is always the right choice, especially early on. Vengeance, the scripture says, is the Lord's. We don't need to take vengeance. Now, Adonijah will take advantage of this later. Does that mean Solomon was weak in offering forgiveness? No. Solomon did the right thing, as we as human beings need to be ready to echo what God has done for us and bring forgiveness. And we'll certainly see about Adonijah not being a worthy man in the next chapter. But brothers and sisters, where is our trust? Our trust needs to be in God, the Lord of the universe, who holds up the stars. He cares for us. He cares about the atoms. And God is the one whom we need to trust. The princes of this world set themselves together against the Lord and against his Christ. And he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. We need as Christians to trust in Almighty God. And we need to trust in the real King, the real Lord, the Lord of the universe. To not put our trust in princes on this earth, but in Almighty God. Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace and prayer, and we will close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we do stand in awe that you direct the course of human history, and that the hearts of the kings of this earth are in your hand, and you turn them as you do the water brooks, where you will. And we pray, Lord, that we would put our trust in you, our hope in you. Even as we're in the midst of another election season, and even in the midst of one which is hotly contested, we pray, Lord, that the man of your choosing would rule this nation. And yet at that same time, we pray that our trust would not be in princes, our hope would not be in kings or presidents on this earth, but in Almighty God. He who created the universe and can work all things to the good of his people. And so, Lord, we look to your hand. We pray for wisdom, for guidance, for the electorate. We pray for righteousness, that truth and justice might prevail. And yet at that same time, we do not put our trust in man. We put our trust in God, in you. And we praise you that you have given to us more than we can ever have taken away from us on this earth, because you have given to us our Savior and eternal life. And we pray these things in the name of him who has given his life for us, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And live in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.